do you put your money where your mouth is? Social entrepreneurship is the road less traveled, but it is one of the paths that can lead to the building of hybrid businesses with triple bottom line, said Oscar Alik Ice, the founder of IceTrap. The company focuses on investments in socially responsible companies that include the arts. Alik Ice also said, there's no better way to make money than doing what you love and are passionate about. I know this, but I also know that that's a great idea and wonderful concept right up until the moment you realize, I don't have the money nor the network of contacts. So John McLaughlin Gray knew this when he wrote and produced Billy Bishop Goes to War. Fortunately for Gray, angel investor Hag Ferris came along with money and a network of people who took a small East Vancouver production to stages internationally. Not all artists are so lucky. Sean Carter knows this, and he's a passionate supporter of passionate artists, and he wants you to be one as well. He just published a book titled Creative Impact, Impact Investing, a book that speaks about a growing number of foundations focused on supporting the arts. Carter says for artists, raising money is extremely difficult. That's because when they sit down across the table from millionaire venture capitalists, there is a deficit of legitimacy, making it next to impossible to raise money and retain artistic control. I invited Sean Carter to join me for a conversation that matters about putting your money in investments that support artists. Sean, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
You say a deficit of legitimacy in those negotiations. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think when you're a creative professional and you're looking for funds and funding, the moment you say you're an artist, I think it goes back to probably the fact that our parents probably didn't want us to be artists. The fact that there's this legacy of artists are in it for the joy, but not the money. Starving artists is a is a classic example. And I think there's been this fight against that for a long time, knowing that the power of creativity, the power of art in our community and culture makes us a better place to live, but doesn't make money. And most are trained to think it doesn't. But I would argue that it can, and if properly executed, will make money. Depends on the concept, but that's the gist.
Well, I agree with you, but as you were, explaining this, that we were kind of taught to believe that artists don't make money. I remember telling my mother when I was younger what it was that I wanted to do, and she went, "Ooh, I don't think so." And I went, "Why not?" And she said, "Because you have to be really good to be able to make a living." And the unspoken part about it was that I'm not so sure that you are. And how can you know when you're 12, 13 years of age? But, you know, we need to, so part of this is also developing that culture that says, you want to go pursue the arts, go. Throw yourself into it wholeheartedly. Like any other career choice, it comes with its ups and downs. Mm-hmm. But if we create that environment that we say, yeah, but there's financial interest in supporting people who truly are committed to their art, it's going to make a difference, isn't it?
Absolutely. It makes our, you know, our places better to live. The cities are better. When creative thought and art is injected into our daily lives, it's more rich. And, you know, you look at government grants that help fund the arts, and I think that's there to make our country a better place to live and more experiential. But also, these enterprises can actually, they don't always have to be not-for-profits. They can be for-profit, and you can invest in them if they're smart. And the space that I'm in, by the way, as a graphic designer, I said no mother ever. I want my child to be a graphic designer, unless the parents are a graphic designer. So there's something with that.
Repeat that for me.
Well, I don't think ever any parent has ever said, I really want my child to be a graphic designer. Like, it's not on the hit list of career choices.
No mother ever said it.
No mother ever said
it. Not just your mother, no mother.
My mother absolutely did not say that. And I'm not sure if any others have either.
Yeah.
And yet, in the space that I'm in, we're at the intersection between art and commerce. That's what graphic design and brand is. It's like, how do you use creative thought? How do you get into the minds of consumers and sort of tackle them in the psychology of their thoughts in the course of a day? And you have to be really creative and smart in that. Now, big businesses understand the value of design. And there is some, you look at some of those powerful companies in the world, Apple, they embrace design. It's all about design. And so that, the design is starting to win and get recognition in the investment world. But art isn't yet. And they're not too far apart. One is a more disciplined approach, but the other makes our world better. The reason behind the book was, can we show some tangible experiences and examples of businesses that are actually investing in their communities, investing in art, and in ways that are impacting us and actually profitable?
Right. Because mm-hmm. I think it's really important to point out that the art itself doesn't have to be a component of a larger enterprise that's helping to drive that profit, that the art itself can be a self-sustaining business, mm-hmm. and that it can produce profits and also spin off jobs.
Absolutely.
When you think about what artists do, it's quite remarkable, and it usually involves other people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's usually a community that are involved in projects and with multiple skill sets. And it's not just, I think there's this concept that this, there's this angry artist painting a canvas. And it goes far deeper than that. And it's around communities building passion projects that don't inherently have a value that you can put on it, but the value in the process, in bringing it to, is actually where there's some real opportunities. And
why do you think it is that we don't put value on that?
I think that the arts are reserved for pastimes and not in the Monday to Friday realm of business, and I think it's quite cultural. So we will go to galleries and appreciate art on the weekends. We will dabble in our creative pursuits after hours. But as a society, we look at and we invest in things that we know. And that have more of a linear sort of value set, and with art, it seems to be something that is sort of a nice add-on,
right?
But it's like the dessert. It's not the main course. Yeah.
Now, to be clear, we're not just talking about things that people paint when we talk about art. I mean, we're talking about the full expression of art, which encompasses a whole
dance, wide variety. Yeah, dance, music. I mean, the arts, literary pursuits to theater, film. We could go on.
It's right.
Yeah, the arts are vast. But the moment you go in, look with an idea to a venture capitalist, and the moment that you say you're an artist and you've got this project, your minutes are numbered. Yeah.
Have you tried this?
No, I haven't. Okay. No, I haven't. We represent many businesses and clients that do.
Yes.
And funny enough, we have a lot of venture capitalist clients, and it's really interesting. And I've had many conversations with the leaders of those in what they value.
Right. Yeah. So, I talked about, Billy Bishop Goes to War, and it was supported by Hag Ferris. Well, Hag Ferris says that having supported Billy Bishop Goes to War was one of, the highlights of his career. And this is a guy who has put, enormous energy in behind companies like D-Wave and Zymeworks and so on. He helped make Billy Bishop Go to War, and it is something that stands out for him as a great accomplishment. And on top of that, everybody made money.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes to show that if you can work together between with the artist and the investor, you can find that path that is beneficial to everybody's interests. And we as people, members of our society, are the benefactors.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there are some really interesting industries that have been able to, let's call it, commoditize the art process and art and actually bring it to market in a profitable way. There are many. And, you know, Hollywood is a good example of that in the early days and where it's become. I mean, we're not going to talk about and debate, you know,
but,
what
but
makes
you're
great
exactly
film.
Right. But Hollywood was a risk.
Yeah, it was. It was a risk. And it was led by passionate creative types that wanted to create something new. And there are these sort of Hollywood incubators out there right now that wanted to do something new. And sometimes art can be even in new technologies. It's not limited to mediums that, you know, have been around. The technology can be the vehicle, but the outcome can be art.
Well, okay, so the example that I really like in the book, which is really funny, is the young woman who goes, "Well, I can create art that you can paint your fingernails using your phone."
Using your phone, yes.
Like, huh?
Yeah, and what you're doing is that you're giving this entire community of younger people or any people that want to express, put interesting designs on their nails and be creative by just using a phone and a LED technology and really available. And so that's a really creative entrepreneur that is basically putting this creativity onto fingernails that, like, if we were to paint them in, like, you can't do it. Like, the typical means of painting your fingernails are really difficult, but the fact that she has invented this technology from her background in LED to be able to express that, it's really interesting. And I'm really confident that's going to be a very profitable venture too.
Well, I think it also speaks to, you know, we talk about art as being something that's attached from our body, but we also see, like, you know, people are into personal artwork on their own bodies. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw this great flourishing of tattoo artists.
Yeah.
Well, whoever would have thought of investing in a tattoo artist, because it seems so far outside of the realm. But, you know, but like what she's come along and basically said, well, I can give you a temporary personal brand that you can change all the time, which helps you to identify yourself as being unique. Mm-hmm. And this is why I think that people have gone to, you know, piercing, tattooing, and you know, fingernail expressions like this. It's a way of saying, well, this helps me to stand out, to have my own identity. Yeah. And this is what we identify with in art, I think.
It is. There's an expression that I love, and you can't stand out by blending in. And really when, like, so many of us are looking for vehicles of expression, and that is unique, and that transcends more than just artists and artisans. It there's a certain level in many of us of wanting to express, and so in that vein, you think of from an investment point of view, all of the opportunities that you can look at from a business to how can larger masses express themselves uniquely and individually? And this one particular Pruvalia is a really good example of someone that sort of found that sort of niche. And I mean, where that exists, there's plenty more.
So in your book, you're basically celebrating people who are saying, okay, we've put together a pool of funding that's designed just to do that. You know, you go back 25, 30 years ago, there was a movement towards ethical investment, and people went, okay, I only want my money to go into what are deemed to be ethical investments, and it started to make a difference.
Yes.
And you're seeing this trend now starting to emerge in the United States. Is it also happening here in Canada?
There are some examples of happening here in Canada as well. We partnered with Upstart CoLab because they were a really good example, and they're based out of New York, and most of their examples are American.
Mm-hmm.
But what was interesting is that you know, if I was an artist and is looking for funding and is going to most venture capitalists, like I said, within 5 minutes, I'm probably, you got a glaze over the eyes and then, you know, we're I'm seeing the door.
Right.
But this particular entity, company, basically will put those exact stores in touch with venture capitalists that are embracing that and valuing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it really comes down to valuing, you know? And they put them in front of the right people. And I think that is what is interesting for us, is like, tell us more stories about that. And that's what led us into the book.
Right, and then those foundations or funds can also be a place that an artist knows, I can go and put myself in front of those people.
That's right.
And they can be that link to people who want to support the kind of work that I'm doing.
That's right.
And so it gives a level of maybe comfort for those mothers who go, there's no future in that, when in fact there can be.
There can be.
And it appears that there is a growing interest in making that happen.
Yeah. I would hope that this topic that we're sort of exploring today in 20 years will be so obvious. Of course the arts are profitable. But right now it's still a unique concept. And companies like Upstart CoLab and others, they're still on the edges. They're still on the fray. They're not really well known in that space. And I think for us, it was really an opportunity to say, hey, first of all, let's value creative thought, creative thinking, creative process. And when we value that as a society, then there becomes value on the end of that. And that's and that's really what this is about.
Well, and I think it's fundamentally important. I'm fortunate. This show is made possible, really, because I have support from Audlin Brown.
Mm-hmm.
They go, okay, well, we'll help cover some of your costs. And they don't tell me what to do. They don't get in the way, but they believe that there's value. And so they go, okay, we're going to invest in you in the making of this show.
Yeah.
Now, for them, they're not looking for a return on that. But for others, you know, there can be that kind of return with the right investment and opening up those networks. I think that it's an extraordinary idea.
Absolutely. And you think of the value that your content is producing. And I think, and that's, and without it, so all great ideas need capital, and they need a network. Those are things that typically venture capitalists and investors can bring to that. And this is typically what artists don't have. You know, they don't. They have other artist friends. They have others in their space, but they typically don't have access to capital. They typically don't have access to the network that will make something happen.
I think one of the other components that most artists don't have is, they don't really have a sense of what it takes to run a business. Even if they are the business, they're still not thinking about, well, I am a business, this is how I market myself, this is how we build those relationships, this is how cash flow functions, and all of that part of the business that you know, those financial supporters can bring to them and give them the kind of, that sort
that's
of support.
That's where artists have a bad rap. See, that's where.
Oh, you're telling me I'm wrong.
I think there, you know, sometimes when there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
But I do think that I personally feel that artists that have the idea, they have to be realizing the market. They have to have a strong business plan. They have to have this before they should be getting any funding. But it's not always true. It's not always true. But I think I wouldn't, if I was on the other side of the equation, if I was a VC, I wouldn't invest unless I felt that there was a really solid business case in front of me. And I think that artists have to do their work as well to bring that to it. Yeah.
Okay, I guess I was talking about myself. Because when I started, I only saw myself as a storyteller.
Yeah.
And I went, I'm going to go out and tell stories.
Yeah.
I had no idea. That I'm still standing this many years later is just because I wouldn't give up. But I made every single mistake that you can imagine. Yeah. And so I think, well, others who are passionate about their craft weren't thinking about, well, how do I make a business run as well? And so if I had had that kind of support, maybe my path might have been a little smoother. Because I really had no idea what it took to run a business of telling stories using video.
Yeah, in fairness, when I started my business at 22, I understood the art and the craft. I didn't understand the business, and I didn't fully understand my client's business. These are things that you learn,
right?
And you learn pretty quickly. You learn really, really quickly. So that test by fire has to happen at some point.
At some point. But when I think back 22, 23 years ago, mm-hmm. when I was starting, if I had known that there were funds or organizations mm-hmm. that would support my endeavors, it would have made a world of difference.
Absolutely.
None of that existed. There was nowhere for me to go other than just throw myself into the pool and hope that I could swim. And luckily, I didn't drown.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably bootstrapping it and you're self-funding it.
Yep.
And that's what most creatives do, myself included. I bootstrapped and I self-funded until I actually had a viable business. But there are some, and that's fine for, I think, probably the space that you and I are in, but if we wanted to scale, if we had a broader goal that employed dozens or hundreds and we wanted to get there quickly, we'd need funding and we'd need a network and we'd need to find someone that could connect us with that. And now there are companies that do that.
Right.
But they're not in the yellow pages. they're not easy to find. It was fascinating to us to start to learn about this. And so that's why we put together this little piece.
Well, I also think that it's important because as, an individual who considers themselves to be kind of in that art spectrum, I looked at anything that was laid out by the government and none of it applied to what I was doing.
Right.
And so you go, okay, well, they've got these grants for the arts. Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah.
Like none of it had any reflection on me. And then the list of accomplishments and credentials and this, that, and the next thing to qualify, I'm wasting my time. I got to just go see if I can get somebody to pay me to make a video for them.
Grants are, we have multiple clients that are use grants as the funding from theater groups to literary festivals to Pride. And I think of that as being like they often have to staff for the funding component.
Right.
Like it's a really important revenue stream. But the writing of the grants, they don't make it easy. And I think that the other, so if you're sort of a creative-based organization, you've kind of got two options. You've got the grant model, or you can look at running it as a business and find funding from VCs. And this is never really thought of in the art space. The granting is, but not the...
Well,
the,
and the, I like the idea. I think that it for me, I would wish that something like that existed. So I applaud you for, nudging this idea along, and I hope that it really takes hold. Thanks ever so much for coming in and sharing this with us.
Thank you for having me.